Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If yeah. Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you for it. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan, and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. A delightful little fun football start to our Wednesday in hour number one. You can catch that at 105.1thefan.com. Also discussed the Tony Romo arrest video.
Yes.
From his OUI. And a poll question is up from our last segment. Would you be nervous about your football coach using ChatGPT
to relate
to his players? Yes or no? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague.
Who's voting no on that? I'm not buying it. Only nerds are voting no on that.
Let's ask our yes here. Let's open up Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, as we do every day at 7 a.m. And we like to order our breakfast. Jake Butt here.
Getting ready to go on TV, man.
He's getting ready to go on TV. Jake Butt, Big Ten Network. He is at Media Days. He's been great on day one, getting ready for day two. Jake, good morning. Couple things to throw at you. On the menu this morning is some duck hash with Sunnyside eggs up. How are you feeling about that?
Duck hash.
Yep.
Isn't that duck is more fine dining from what I'm aware of. I'm not a big fine dining guy. I just like breakfast sausage.
Mm. Yeah, you're a true Midwesterner.
I mean, that's
right
all
there,
we
sir.
Need. Jake is a real American right there.
Now, let me ask you a follow-up.
Right.
If your football coach, you find out he's been using ChatGPT to relate to you and your teammates, do you instantly feel like you can't trust him?
Yes, because as a byproduct, I don't really trust ChatGPT. You know, it just kind of tells us what we want to hear.
Oh, my God.
And then, look, here's the thing, guys.
Yeah.
I played for Jim Harbaugh. Like, he's not the most, you don't say, hey, I'm going to call Jim Harbaugh at midnight and have a long, hour-long conversation. And I like that. I don't need my football coach to relate to me. I want to win. Push me. That's all I care about.
Amen. Look, two for two right out of the gate, right? Sausage and no ChatGPT. This is why we love Jake Butt. This is why he's the best. We're all excited for Oregon to hear what they have to say at Big Ten Media Day. Obviously, Lanning will be last and coming through the Big Ten Network studio, or, you know, the desk you guys got there. What were the takeaways from day one? What were the big highlights in the standout moments or quotes that you saw from coaches or players that kind of stuck away with you?
Yeah, you know what? I think what really stood out to me was Lincoln Riley and just how important this season is for USC. You know, it's like that age-old quote, to whom much is given, much is required. You know, when they cut that big nine-figure check to bring him to USC, it wasn't with the expectations that good was ever going to be good enough. It was with championship expectations. And talking to Lincoln at the desk, he understands that. He said he doesn't know any different. It's been the case since he was the head coach back at Oklahoma. And I know that I have zero doubts that Lincoln Riley, especially returning his quarterback, Jaden Maiava, that offense is going to be able to score points. But I think where they've really struggled consistently and why they've struggled on the road and in big games has been in the trenches. And what Lincoln, he kind of opened his presser with this, saying that since he took the job at USC, he has never felt better about the quality of player and depth that he has in the trenches. So that's something that I think maybe got overlooked, but I think it's really important understanding how important this season is for Lincoln Riley, that he's going to be able to rely on the players he has up front.
Yeah, Jake Butt, our guest here, Big Ten Network, as Media Days roll on in Chicago on Twitter, at JBooty88. What do you think Lincoln Riley would have said of, is this where you envision USC year five of your program?
I think he would have given an answer to the extent of, hey, they knew it was going to take some time, and I think that's fair. He talked about how his philosophy in roster building has changed. Remember, year one, they went heavy into the transfer portal, And the good thing was is that led to a quick turnaround, a lot of success with Caleb Williams way back then. But the challenge is that that doesn't lead towards long-term success. You know, you use the transfer portal for a year or two, and then those guys graduate. Coming off of this past offseason, he just signed the number one recruiting class coming out of high school. They're loaded with youthful talent. He thinks a number of those guys are going to contribute this year. So I think, you know, it's both. I think Trojan fans want to see that team win now. Obviously, we look at what Cignetti has done, and it's like, why can't our program do it? But with Lincoln Riley, I think this year is really important for him to actually start to show some of that potential and really get close at a minimum, if not all the way into the college football playoff.
Yeah, we saw the media poll come out kind of leading into all this kicking off yesterday. Ohio State picked to finish first, Oregon State second, Indiana third. I'm curious if you agree with the order at the top of the conference. How would you vote for it? And then as we get ready to hear from Lanning and the rest of the Oregon players today, kind of what are your thoughts on the Ducks and what are you looking forward to hearing about or asking about today with the Oregon coach and players?
Yeah, I would say I think roster-wise, Oregon has the best roster of all those teams. I mean, you guys got the best defensive line in college football. You have a quarterback that would have been a top three pick in last year's NFL draft. That, of course, matters. You're loaded at running back. I love your two young running backs. I think you maybe have the best cornerback in all college football in Brandon Finney Jr. I'd say the only question I have is you're introducing two new coordinators, and particularly on the offensive side of the ball, what is that going to look like? You know, just kind of structuring game plans against the better teams. I think that really matters. And to that exact point, I personally would pick Indiana number one, because at this point I'm done. I've got burned betting against Cignetti. I think we all have. I'm done betting against him. And they returned their entire coaching staff, guys. Like, that is so rare of a team that won a national championship. And then they reloaded in the portal and went out and got Josh Hoover, the number one portal quarterback. So you can't go wrong picking any of those teams. I like them all for different reasons, but I'd probably lean towards saying Cignetti's the safe bet to go repeat.
Jake Butter, our guest here, Big Ten Network. More pressure on them going into the season to accomplish the almighty, Dan Lanning or Steve Sarkisian?
Oh, Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian, for sure. I just think Texas, with where they're – it's the same thing of, you know, basically Texas with their history – when you hire Steve Sarkisian, it comes with an expectation to continue that history. And when Dan Lanning was brought out to Oregon, he was tasked with doing something that no one else has done before, which is to go get that national championship. I just think both teams are, I wouldn't even call it pressure. We talked about this at the desk yesterday, and we had a kind of a long conversation as it applies to Dan Lanning. Like, you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself because only one team can win a national championship, right? Like, that can't be our standard for success or disappointment. I just really think long-term Dan Lanning, there's going to be a national title brought to Oregon. I just absolutely believe that with him being the head coach there. I think they got a great chance this year, but again, only one team can be there's only one singular national champion.
Yeah, the title or bust stuff can be tough because you can come close. It's really hard to win a national championship in the modern era, and that, you know, you don't want that to feel like a failure if you're actually knocking on the door and getting
exactly
close. You know, you mentioned you couldn't go wrong with the top three in the conference, and I agree with you. Like, Ohio State, we know how talented they are year in and year out. Oregon's returning a ton of guys, and Indiana just won the damn championship. So you pick any of them, I get it. Is there another team that you truly buy in that can finish – like, if one of those teams suffers some injuries or things don't go their way, that you think could jump into that top three? Or is it, do you look at the conference as those three gap, then USC, Michigan, you know, so on and so forth? Is that the way you view the Big Ten this year?
Yeah, I do. I just look at the rosters, who's coming back, the coaching staff. I think it would be crazy to say it isn't, you know, Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, and then a bit of a gap. But it is an interesting conversation, though, because, you know, who is there a fourth team or a fifth team that can sneak into the playoff and compete? And I think those teams I'm looking at are USC, Michigan. They got a brutal schedule there. I'm a believer in Kyle Whittingham, but it's a really brutal schedule. Interested to see Matt Campbell, what he does at Penn State. I think they got their work cut out for them. There's a lot of roster turnover, but the benefit they have, it's a really easy schedule. And that's another thing to just consider when we're talking about these seasons. Penn State, that schedule is extremely manageable. Yeah. They could win 10 or 11 games, and USC might only win 8 or 9 games. That doesn't mean that Penn State's better than USC, though, because USC has a brutal schedule. So there's got to be a little nuance to these conversations. I know we don't like nuance all the time in sports talk, but that's the way I look at it, at least.
Yeah. Big Ten Network analyst Jake Butt, our guest, at JBooty88. We were talking. We actually started the show today. Normally, we just kind of like ease into the radio program and say, oh, what'd you do yesterday? Start off with some football today, because I'm watching yesterday. I missed a couple of the coaches' press conferences, so I had the Big Ten Network on, and I'm rewatching some of the speeches the coaches gave, and admittedly popped about a half gummy taking audio for the radio program here, Jake, and I'm watching, and just, it wasn't you, it was the other guys on the desk, and they're basically like, I don't buy Michigan, I don't think the offense is good, and my opinion is, I think it's almost a universal truth in college football outside of the blue and maize bubble that we're just expecting Bryce Underwood to suck. And I find it a very odd thing. I'm not a Michigan fan, but I was like finding myself defending the guys. Like, he was a freshman last year. His coach got fired. Let's see what he is with a real coach and Kyle Whittingham. What do you make of year two for a Bryce Underwood, the number one player who didn't have such a great freshman season for Michigan?
Yeah, well, here's going to be the nuance for you guys. You know, I'll bring the nuance measured take. Yes, he came in. He was 17 years old when he walked on campus last year in Ann Arbor. Played the season when he turned 18 years old. So, yeah, you know, I get he's a five-star, but no one was expecting him to go out there and win the Heisman right away. Maybe he might have thought in his own dreams he had a chance at it, but that's just not realistic. The coaching staff, all the drama off the field in Ann Arbor, it wasn't a situation set up to allow a young, talented kid to flourish. Now you bring in Kyle Whittingham, Jason Beck, the play caller, Coy Detmer, the quarterback coach. They've kind of insulated him with and surrounded him with quality, proven coaches that should lead to growth. The question is how much growth? And here's the nuanced take, though. It's true from Michigan won 9 games last year. I think Michigan could be a significantly improved team. I think Bryce Underwood could be a significantly improved quarterback. And yet, here's the defenses they play. Oklahoma, Iowa, Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State. That's 5 of the top defenses in all of college football. So, good luck. You know, good luck. That's where the nuance comes in here. And I just hope for Bryce, don't worry about the outside noise. The question he needs to ask every day is, hey, did I get closer to my goals? Did I get better as a quarterback? And I would say one final thing, guys, is I'm covering Michigan. I called a number of games last year. Bryce is like Cam Newton. I mean, he is a great runner, a big, physical, strong kid. And yet, for whatever reason, the coaching staff last year didn't want to run him. And it became this strange, weird conversation where they weren't really answering questions to the media. That's not going to be the case with Kyle Whittingham. They're going to let Bryce use his legs. I think that's going to unlock another element of confidence, which really should help Bryce flourish.
I would categorize the entire situation in Michigan last year as strange and weird, and that's not just for on the field.
There we go. Yeah.
You know who's not? Kyle Whittingham is not strange and weird. That's why that was such a good hire. We've known Kyle for a long time. Is yeah. Luke Fickell at Big Ten Media Days a year from now?
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, he had a really renewed energy to him. I mean, this has been a tough stretch for him. I mean, I've been at the Big Ten Network for 5 years, and every year, pretty much since Fickell got hired at the media days, we pull up their schedule, and we're like, wow, man, Wisconsin, that is one of the toughest schedules in college football. Every year they've went into the portal to get a quarterback, and then every year that quarterback has gotten injured before the season even gets a chance to get going. So you combine that, that's just a losing recipe. And they kind of lost their identity, but Fickell made a strong comment a few weeks ago to the press saying he is renewed and ready to go attack this season. He wants to get Wisconsin back to a respectable program. And here's the big difference. They have a much more manageable schedule this year. They bring in a quarterback that's a 1,000-yard rusher from last year. I think that's going to help their offensive identity. I think they averaged about 13 points per game on offense last year. I would not be shocked if they doubled that output this year, which should lead to 7 or 8 wins, which would be a huge step forward. Which, to answer your original question, I think that leads to Fickell being back here next year.
13 points per game is so bad.
That's terrible.
Not good enough,
although
right?
They did beat the Huskies with their punter being the leading passer. So, you know, maybe
I just rewatched the end of that game. That was a disaster class. Jake Butt, our guest here, Big Ten Media Days rolling on. Day 2 in Chicago. Dan Lanning is set to speak at about 3 hours and 30 minutes here if the schedule stays with what it is. He's on Twitter, at JBooty88. I don't know if I'm just – maybe my co-host and I are stuck in our own little weird Northwest bubble here, and you will disagree with some of the premise of what I'm about to say. But the guy that has a national championship seemingly wins 10 games or better every single season, pierced his nipples, is always in the running. How many more seasons does Ryan Day need to be successful before everybody universally says – Ryan Day is an elite coach? Because there is still a part of that, the sports world in college football.
Even in their own fan base.
That feels like it doesn't, they don't give him his due, and I don't know what that is about.
I don't know who made that comment, but I completely agree. I think it's probably starts from their own fan base more than anything, you know? And if your own fans are, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. I know I played at Michigan. That city is just, I mean, they are rabid about Ohio State football, and sometimes what that leads to is impossible expectations. Like, the Buckeye fans think that they should win the national championship every single year, and the Big Ten title every single year, and that there should be no, they should go undefeated against every team. And that leads to some impossible expectations. But I will say, I think probably part of this is the early record against Michigan, that loss to Michigan back in 2024, when they went on to win the national title. Like, I think that has kind of been planted into Buckeye fans' minds and maybe clouds their judgment a little bit. But guys, it's back to the other conversation. There's only one national champion every single year. Last year, I'm sure for Buckeye fans, that was viewed as a disappointing season. I get it. But you lost to Indiana and Miami, the two teams that played for the national title. Like, that's not a bad season at all. So, my opinion, he's one of the best 3 to 5 coaches in college football, no doubt.
Yeah, not to mention the fact they could have easily won both those games, too, against Indiana in the Big Ten title game and then Miami in the playoff game. Is there a coach, a storyline, a theme, if you will, that we have not asked about that's high on your interest radar going into the Big Ten that maybe isn't getting the buzz or the credit that you think it should?
Well, I would just say generally, you know, one of the things that's been going at the SEC media days, you know, they were kind of posturing and politicking and pitching the case for their conference. And then, you know, Big Ten fans come back. And one of the topics I've heard is the top of the Big Ten, meaning Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, is better than the top of the SEC. But the middle part of the SEC is better than the Big Ten. I would challenge that. And I think that, one, I would just challenge the history of it. But two, I would point to all the new coaches coming into the Big Ten. Bob Chesney at UCLA, Kyle Whittingham at Michigan, Pat Fitzgerald, Michigan State, Matt Campbell at Penn State. Like, that's the meat of your conference right now. That's that next tier down on top of an Illinois or Washington, USC, right? Like, the meat of the conference is in a really, really good spot, and it's been really interesting and fun to get to know the new coaches. And excited to hear from more of them throughout the week.
We'll let you go here in just a minute because we appreciate the time. I know it's a busy time for you. Got a lot of work ahead of you today. Washington, they lost their quarterback. They brought him back. It's an odd dynamic. I think a lot of people that aren't players project how they would feel if they were players. I've always thought players don't live in the same world as most fans and media. Jake Butt, you've been a player. You're in the media now. How would Jake Butt, the player, have felt about Damon Williams leaving and then coming back and how that whole thing went down, and what is your expectations for the Huskies?
Yeah, I think, here's the nuance again. I would be happy that he eventually decided to return because Washington is much better with Damon Williams under center than they are without him. I also think I would understand as a player, he was offered a lot of money, and that's really hard to turn down. He was under a ton of pressure. I would just be happy that he's back throwing me passes, you know, if I was playing tight end for him. And I think my expectations, you know, I played for Jed Fish. I'm a fan of Jed Fish. I think he's building something really solid and special there. And I look back at last season, they were a lot closer than people give him credit for. You know, they were competitive against Ohio State, against Michigan. The big question for me for the Huskies, I think, will decide their season is what they do in the trenches on both sides of the ball. They just, a few injuries here and there really decimated their chances last season. So, looking at the line of scrimmage.
Okay, true or false? We're in a trust tree. We've known you a while now. You're a pretty good guest for us. We love talking football with you. True or false, you went back to the hotel room to rewatch yourself on TV to see how the hair and the outfit looked.
Ooh.
No. I was ready to just tune out of football last night. So I'll be back again today. It's my wife's birthday, so I won't be watching myself tonight either. So you guys just, I need you guys to let me know if the hair's off or anything.
Hey,
I'll be counting on you guys.
You're right behind my co-host right now because I got the replay yesterday. Looks
you look
fantastic.
Good. You look good.
Looks phenomenal. Look good. Nice tan. Good work in
good
the summer. We're ready for ball. Let's
go,
baby.
True or false, a coach being super tan tells us he trusts that the program's in great shape. A pale coach says he's grinding and the program is still building.
Oh, I guess that's a fair – that we'll have to ask Matt Campbell because Matt Campbell was by far the most tan coach. So let's see how Penn State does this year.
Yeah, he was. Jake Butt, Big Ten Network. Have a great day. Happy birthday to your wife. Thanks for hopping on. We'll catch up with you when camps get going.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. Jake Butt, Big Ten Media Network.
Love me some Jake Butt.
Love some Jake Butt.
Great new friend of the program. A wonderful new relationship that we formed last season.
Yes.
Been a great hit. I don't know. I'll be curious. Oregon only has one Big Ten Network game right now. It's their that we know about. It's their Portland State game in week 3. It's a Friday night game.
Isn't he on the Portland State
he
game?
He did.
Or
I mean, he
game was
came out
year?
And called. I can't remember which one he called, but he called one at Autzen, I remember. Might have been their first game of the year, maybe.
Who was their patsy?
Montana State.
That was the game he called.
The national champions. I don't know if he's going to be here for the. You're damn right. Get you one of those.
By the way, I loved your slip up that I didn't want to correct you on.
What did I say?
You asked if Oregon State was going to be in the top 3 with Indiana and Ohio State.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, you dropped a B.
I said Oregon State in there?
I didn't want to correct the record.
Did I really?
You did.
I mean, I think you guys are top
3. I don't know
why
that was on your brain. Nah. It was just odd.
God
bless the Beaver.
Yeah, God bless the Beaver.
We love the Beaver. I'll be curious. If he comes out, they have some other candidates for Big Ten Network games like down the road, like their Northwestern game maybe at home. Like,
no doubt.
There's a few in there. I hope he gets back out to Autzen and calls another game.
Good stuff from Jake Budd and Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. It's a big meal, and we didn't have a lot of time to eat. It got cold. Let's pack it up. A little leftover swag.
Oh, I thought we were going to order seconds.
Oh, you want to order seconds?
Oh, you need another dish?
Yeah. Let's have another cup of coffee.
Duck hash? We're throwing duck hash at him, huh?
Dude, how Lake Oswego Fat Swag has came to play. We'll get to it next on The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Great stuff from Jake Butt, Big Ten Network. Loves your Oregon Ducks. Absolutely giving them the best chance. Although he did say he took Indiana one just
because Cincinnati
scares the hell out of him.
I mean, it is such a unique thing. We talked about that at the end of the last year. When was the last time we had a championship team coach the way that they were coached, hold on to their entire staff? Like, that is such a rare thing.
You were very upset by that, and I think a lot of people were,
get
too.
Those people out of there, man. Why are people taking my coordinators? They beat us twice. Go get their coordinators, Kentucky.
Thing is, with a good guest, when you invite them to breakfast, is sometimes you talk too much, and you didn't eat the food you wanted to eat, so yeah. Swag made a good point. We got to order it up.
Order up!
And we're going to dive back in because we got leftovers and more food to eat here at Cafe de Dirt and Sprague as we extend it.
I'm down for two.
Yeah, you ordered eggs. They got cold because you were talking so much. You know what?
I'll pay for it.
I'll pay for
it.
Can you make me an omelet? I'm still hungry.
Yeah, well.
What are we doing here?
We're eating more food. What's
maybe
wrong with
having
that?
A breakfast cocktail.
What did you think of his duck hash comment?
That sounds like a Jake Butt comment.
That's a guy that grew up in Ohio.
I'd probably respond the same way.
Can
you want our duck hash special? No. You got some bacon in there?
Let's start with the commissioner of the Big Ten, Tony Battiti, on the expansion of playoff yesterday.
I mean, he's been public about certain preferences he has, but he's committed himself to doing the work around all formats. And we've done the same thing. We have strong opinions about where the right path is. I think there's been an evolution since we were here last year about how people feel about 24 at this point. And we've made adjustments in our league. We were focused on automatic qualifiers. We're not focused on that anymore. We're looking at, you know, the committee picking the field to 24. We feel that that ultimately will still unlock the power of scheduling that we want. So we work every day with it. I think the path is you've got to be able to do this in a way that allows you to not play championship games. There's obviously significant economic value in our championship games across the P4. And so we've got to understand where that is. And if we can find the value, then I think it just changes the tone of the conversations.
So Tony Petitti advocating again, says him and Sankey need to have conversations, but he still believes it's going to be a 24-team expanded playoff.
I think, unfortunately, I don't know what the ramifications would be for the regular season. We've debated that. I don't really know where I land on that topic.
It does take some away.
Right. It's ultimately football, and we're still going to love it because it's football. And to your point, largely, when Oregon lost to Indiana last year and it was their only loss of the season, it's in the regular season that was, it still ruined my day. It still ruined my weekend, and I knew that they were still having a good shot at making the playoff. Unfortunately, because of the point that Jake Butt talked about there, when these exploded conferences happened, they have created schedules that are manageable and schedules that are incredibly tough. And that's not the way that I think we should accurately view who is the better team and who should make the college football playoff. Michigan, for his example, plays five of the best defenses in the country this year. They might go 8-4. They might be better than Penn State, but Penn State might be 10-2 because guess who they don't play? Indiana, Ohio State, or Oregon. And so if you win that USC game at home, you got a great shot at going 10-2 and you don't play Oklahoma in non-conference. For all of these reasons listed, I do think Petitti is ultimately going to end up winning this argument. We will expand to 24, and you get other networks involved. It's a cash flow that comes in. We just don't have an accurate way of viewing who the best teams are anymore because the schedules are so unbalanced.
Order up! I think for the last 6 months, we've been reminded why it was such a great fit for us at Penn State. I think the history, what it means to play there, but how you do it. The integrity, the character in the class, in its finest moments, what Penn State football has stood for really resonated with myself and certainly my background. So it really had to be a perfect fit, and that's really why.
Well, as Jake Butt and many others observed yesterday, that's really tan Matt Campbell, new Penn State coach, explaining how the first 6 months of being head coach is exactly why he took the job, of how great it's been.
Yeah, very interesting year ahead for them, right? I mean, Franklin was so good for a long time, but his biggest issue was not winning games against teams that he was supposed to beat. He beat everybody he was supposed to beat, but he couldn't beat the teams he wasn't supposed to beat or he was an underdog in. They got a very manageable schedule right away, and I think as time has told us in college football, you don't get the same leeway that you used to with these jobs. There's not this thought of like, oh, give him 2, 3, 4 years, get his guys in there, and then you turn it around. He brought essentially all of the best players with him from Ohio or Iowa State. And so I think you're going into year one. You're not expecting necessarily maybe a playoff or a Big Ten title, but you're expecting to be a competent team that wins 8, 9 games that is in the mix and a lot because of who you brought in and because of what your schedule was. I think the world of him as a coach, but it's much different expectations at Penn State than it is Iowa State.
I spent a couple of years in the SEC, was with Slive, and then transitioned to Sankey. And I just think about it now, everybody's going to have, you know, opinions, and obviously they're going to draw the Big Ten SEC and you know, all that goes around about that. But to sit in the room with both of those guys, I think with Tony and the vision and experience that he has, and to be in the room where Sankey, I know he's got to protect the SEC, and they kind of want to live in 2005 forever, but I think the forward thinking of where we are in college football is an awesome thing.
There is Brett Bielema, Illinois coach. SEC stuck in 2005 forever. I do not believe he is wrong on that. The way they talk, it's just like, yeah, back in the day, we dominated. Yeah, okay, cool. Win the title.
He did coach in the SEC, so he's got experience in both conferences. There's some of this stuff, the back and forth of it, that I'm just like, to a certain extent, if you're the Big Ten, you've won 3 consecutive national championships. You're also at Illinois, and you have not won those national champs. Like, are you the right vessel to be delivering that message?
Yes. Everybody in that conference should be dunking on them because they are whiny little bees, dude.
I get it.
If P.J. Fleck rode the boat all over them, I wouldn't
care. Has
he
beaten an SEC team in his time at Minnesota?
That's a
great
question.
Is that a requirement? Do you need to have beaten an SEC team in order to talk
about it?
Like, yes, the Big Ten is the toast of college football because they've won 3 straight national titles. You know who has not won one of those national titles? Illinois. He's 23-22 in Big Ten player.
I thought
the last
you became Mr. Big Ten there, but I think if your team has one of those 3, you have a different tune.
Well, then I want my coach to jump into the fray. But until then, like, let's win one.
Order up.
Yeah, I've said this, you know, multiple times. I mean, the only 2 places that I've been at a head coach at were blue blood schools that had the highest of expectations. So honestly, I've really known anything different. You know, we're a product of our own experiences, and that's been mine. And so, every year, you know, I expect to win. I expect us to win. I expect us to compete for and win championships, and that doesn't change. I do, though, certainly will give you what has changed is I do believe we're more equipped than at any point in the previous few years.
There's Lincoln Riley, year 5, giving us the expectations for the Trojans. I was watching his. Didn't really have a lot of takeaways, although that was probably his best thing.
His Notre Dame stuff is still driving everybody crazy.
Check my previous comments. I mean, it's like, okay, thanks, dude.
We wanted to play the game. If things had happened that said were going to happen, we'd still be playing the game. Coward.
I asked Jake Butt this. and I know what he would say publicly. What would Lincoln going into USC, not even having had his first year with Caleb in the year that Caleb and USC went to the Pac-12 title game, what would he have thought if I showed him that's your first 5 years or your first four seasons going right into your fifth season?
You're saying going into year five, now we have everything where we need it to be.
Now we might be able to be a playoff team.
This ain't year two.
Nope.
This ain't year three.
I also show him Indiana won the title.
In 2 years.
Dan Lanning's been to the playoff a couple
twice.
Times.
Yeah. You know, Lincoln Riley's never won a playoff game. Never won a playoff game, Lincoln Riley. He's been head coach for well over a decade at two very prestigious universities.
He is somebody that I have so far been pretty wrong on about his USC
experience. I love that we got the press conference from yesterday. It was one of the only ones that I watched from start to finish. The other ones you're like skimming of like, okay, I don't need an answer on that random player that's a linebacker. We're not going to play that on the show. It was one of the few that I watched from start to finish. It was not very long. So is this the accountability season then? If everything's where you want it to be, the alignment's there.
The recruits are young.
So if you go 8-4, is it just, well, now we were just young, so now next year will be the year? Like, Lincoln Riley has become the Portland Trailblazers of making a big move. It's never the offseason. It's never the deadline, and you just kick the can down the road. No. We can't do it in the offseason. We got to do it at the deadline. So we're near year five. Now things are aligned, and we're ready to have expectations. Got it. So 8-4 is a failure then? Or is 8-4 a building year because you're a young team, and next year six is when it happens?
You know what those two things have in common? Danny Meringue believes in both of them.
What?
Butter up.
I don't know if you ever submit yourself. I think you have to. I know as players, you have these barriers, and once you beat a team like the Chiefs, which was the pretty much the roadblock for the Broncos and every other team in the AFC West, it gives you a little bit more confidence, and now you know you're not circling them on. Chris knows when you get a schedule, you kind of circle the teams you think you can beat, sort of the teams that you're kind of like, I don't know about that. I think you might be putting a circle around the Chiefs more often than not now. Before, that used to be like, no, we're not winning. Like, that was going to be an L. That's an L. But now you're like, okay, we feel like we can beat the Chiefs.
This is something I want to dive into tomorrow or at some point. That was Terrell Davis, Mile High Salute Terrell Davis on ESPN Radio.
Hall of Famer Terrell Davis.
I mean, it's kind of crazy to say out loud, and it's not going to take up the rest of the segment. I do want to, like, where are you guys at on agreeing with him that you don't look at the Chiefs anymore and go, oh, that's a L? Like, he's saying you can circle the Chiefs and say, winnable game.
Look, I would love it because I want my guy, Mr. Madison Beer, to win the division and go on a run, but I'm not like...
You're not there?
How many times did we do this to New England? How many times did we do this? And I both hands raised because I did it about a dozen times. it's over. Dude, they haven't won a playoff game in like 4 years. The Patriots are cooked. Brady's old. It ain't happening. He's 35. Yeah. And then he went on one in like four more Super Bowls. So, no, I'm not there in any way.
But I think it's more about...
The first time we've seen him have a down non-playoff year in Mahomes' career.
But there's context to this.
Yeah. I think it's more about...
So you're not scared of the Chiefs anymore, Mr. Charger?
I mean, there's...
Bring on Kansas City?
Were you scared of them last year?
Yeah, I mean, as the year went on, the answer was
you're not as scared of him. You're ready for the fight. Like, when Tyson was at his heyday, you wouldn't even take that fight. You would, like, I'm not going to go get my ass whooped in 45 seconds.
I think watching that, let me say
after Buster Douglas took him down, you'll take the fight. It doesn't mean you don't need to train your ass off and have a good game plan going in.
Sure.
But you're willing to take the fight.
You may disagree with this. Yeah. And this is why I think it's an interesting conversation to have at a later date.
Uh-huh.
I think watching them get so utterly embarrassed by the Eagles
and then the Super Bowl.
And then the follow up last year.
Yeah.
I think it's gaining traction. It doesn't mean you're saying it's the most winnable. I don't know if I agree with circling saying, well, that's a win.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're looking at it and you're going, well, damn, that's a loss. Like, I don't
Is
think
Patrick Mahomes not scary to play anymore.
Well, not of scared to face. He does. He's going to keep defensive coordinators up at night.
So
but
the guy
again,
who has the football in his hands on every play, still scary. One of the best quarterbacks
in the
NFL.
Is Joe Burrow scary?
Yeah, when he's healthy, absolutely, he's scary.
Are the Bengals the circle game?
The Bengals haven't won three Super Bowls.
Just ask. You brought up a quarterback. I'm just throwing another quarterback at you.
It's not the automatic L. You don't just glance over that.
I mean, maybe this is different. I never looked at them on the schedule. It was like, oh, they're literally unbeatable. That was never my thought. We knew they were the best team in the NFL.
Didn't feel great about it.
I wasn't super confident in my ability to go win, and now I'm not going into the game saying I'm super confident that this is an easy dub. I'm just saying they still have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
We'll get into that at some point. It's obviously a very interesting topic. So you went up, Swag, before we break.
Yeah, speaking of AI, which we love, I said PJ Fleck versus SEC teams.
Yes, has he ever won?
Wait, what did you put this in?
Google search.
Yeah.
Okay. PJ Fleck versus SEC teams.
Okay.
4 years as a head coach at Western Michigan, going into his 10th year. This will be his 10th season at Minnesota.
10th season at Minnesota. That is bonkers.
He's never faced an SEC team.
Well, he never lost to one then.
Undefeated.
Saturday, September 12th, this season, Mississippi State comes to Minnesota.
You can't lose that game. It's Mississippi State.
We're going to have to do something that week.
That's his first SEC opponent.
As a head coach, first time he's going up against an SEC
like
team.
Bielema does all his chest pumping because they played South Carolina in a bowl game 2 years ago when they won the game, and it got spicy at the end, and he did the whole SEC suck stuff, and he also got fired by an SEC school. So he's got a little bit of an axe to grind. But like,
now if Google AI is missing something, let me know.
So can we come to the agreement that if they lose to Mississippi State in year 10 at Minnesota in non-conference,
he cannot.
You're not allowed to talk trash about the SEC?
He can't.
You're not. He himself. Big Ten top coach is fine. PJ Fleck?
Not so much.
Not allowed?
I'll agree.
Thank you. That's all I ask.
Also, how loud are the cowbells going to be in Minneapolis?
Very loud.
They're going to take over that stadium.
Very loud.
It's a good drinking city.
Yes,
it is. It's right near downtown.
If you want to talk about a random off-the-radar college football game that I wouldn't mind going
to,
I think. Plus, I'm going to Minneapolis where the weather is good, September 12th.
September should be nice.
Could be a lovely time in Minneapolis.
People from Mississippi will see like electricity for the first time.
I'll have
It'll
to
be
look.
Wild for them.
I don't know if the Vikings home open is opening
what
game
are these
is at home.
Called? What's this light on the ceiling? What's this light?
If I just want to take in some college football random atmosphere,
did you say it is?
It's September the 12th.
Okay.
God, why
so
are we talking
two.
About this?
Let me look at my week 2 slate.
You brought up PJ.
I just used a coach. He didn't even make it. This is a Bielema-related thing. And now
this is my value-added producer
two,
work.
Week 2, you get the Oklahoma-Michigan game.
Yeah.
Washington State's playing at Kansas State. That's actually kind of a fun non-conference game.
This game is a 12:30 CBS game.
Okay, this is your morning. That's actually a good slate. ASU at Texas A&M.
This is a 12:30 slate?
This is the 9 a.m. game.
No, the Minnesota-Mississippi State game.
But here we go. The 12:30, you got Arizona-BYU.
That's
Illinois. Don't lose that one, Bielema. I think you lost to him last year. Yeah, the rest of the 12:30 slate, not very good.
I get down PJ Fleck against Mississippi State.
I'll watch that game.
All right. Got a couple more audio things from the National Football League I want to get to, and we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We will get to stat or story today. PJ Fleck, college football versus the SEC. Coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. And a reminder that Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only Fan. So good, only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. One of our listeners, Shane, has AI'd a photo of Dirt and I sitting together doing the show. And I am incredibly jealous of the studio, these AI.
That's a nice looking AI studio right there.
It's pretty sick. It's got Mount Hood in the background. It's decorated pretty properly.
We got some neon lighting in there.
We're sitting in a trailer, metal walls, John Daly, American Express flag, Navy. I don't even know what to make of what this studio has become. But
hey, that is a John Rahm autographed American Express championship flag right there. Okay, put some respect on the name. Ah. Live Golf Star. Long live Live.
Do you not find our studio very oddly decorated?
It is a little random.
It's not, eclectic, yes.
It looks like somebody doesn't know how to decorate is what it looks like.
It does, yes.
To be honest with you.
Looks like me jumping into my man cave and just aggressively hanging things without any rhyme or reason nor strategy of like, none of this really goes together. We're just going to start putting stuff on the walls and see how it works.
It's a delightful image. You're too tall in it, but I appreciate the image nonetheless.
Hey. I think on YouTube I'm taller than you, man.
Well, your butt's bigger. And your camera's raised higher.
Don't be mad. I might be sitting on a phone book. Doesn't matter.
It's not even your legs. It's your arms. Your arms look massive in this photo.
You guys know which way the pool is. Have you seen the gym? Is it that way?
Don't do the gym routine, Tommy.
No, Tommy. Don't do the gym routine.
You seen the weight room?
You seen the weight room? Is it over this way?
I got a couple more leftovers of NFL audio. We have more to get to today on a beautiful little Wednesday morning. There is somebody in sports, Jason T. Swigard.
Talk to me.
That I would venture to say, if I found out they were on the same opinion as me, I would have to go home today after the show, stare at my ceiling, and contemplate my entire existence and or if still agreed with the opinion.
Skip Bayless.
Definitely one.
On the list.
I mean, absolutely somebody that if he said something...
Jason McIntyre. Nobody's ever uttered the phrase, Jason McIntyre, that was a good point. Literally never been said. And if he said something that you said too, that makes you question a lot, doesn't it? There was somebody on our YouTube comments that said I should be digging ditches on the side of the highway. I'll tell you what, if Jason McIntyre said the same opinion as me, I might agree with that listener.
Why should you be digging ditches on the side?
I'm terrible at my job, man. I don't know how I'm still here.
Why'd you be better?
The only thing I'm serviceable at is digging ditches. You don't even know if I can dig a hole. What if I'm not a good digger?
There is a conspiracy that the main host of that show keeps McIntyre around to make himself look better.
It's not that bad of a theory.
I don't think I disagree with it. Anyways, the guy I was going to get to.
Yes.
Because we can have good and bad takes.
Sure.
Yes.
But if my take is something I believe in.
Right.
And then I find out this person in sports agrees with me, I'm reconsidering and probably changing my opinion.
Yes.
Let's play the fun game. Whose opinion does this person agree with?
Oh, I think to contend for a Super Bowl, which would, if you contend, you got a real chance of being in it and being in the game. I think those are the kinds of things that I don't believe are an outlandish or a reach to expect.
Totally
and
agree.
So that's a successful season. I expect us to be significantly improved defensively. Significantly improved.
Me too.
And I actually expect us to improve on the offense. And I expect the enthusiasm that Coach has talked about here to be contagious on the field. And if something like that happened, you can have somebody get in the big hunt and get in the deal that maybe a lot of people didn't think were ready for it. So let me just say this. There's no way that I would do anything that would delay until next year or the next year to try to get to a Super Bowl this year. I feel that good about what we're starting with.
Jerry Jones, Andy Dirt Johnson, Dan Orlovsky. What a threesome on
there
the table.
Great minds think alike.
Anti-Blazer approach.
Now. The time is now. The moment is now, Jera. You're going to die in like 4 minutes. Do it now.
How do you spell significantly?
Significantly.
I mean, look, it's a Southern game. Come on, man. You know,
see that yesterday, and I was laughing seeing that take.
My cousin grew up in Oklahoma, and him and my uncle lived with us very briefly for a time in middle school, and my cousin's about a year older than me. The first night they came to Portland, they stayed, and we were living in a tiny little duplex. And so we're all crammed in one room. We're just hanging out, like, you know, shooting the breeze. And I don't even remember why or how, but my cousin was like, how quick does your guys' ambulance come?
Your what?
And me and my mom looked at each other, and we went,
what did you say?
A what?
Huh?
Our what? Your ambulance. How long does it take? And I go, do you mean ambulance? And he goes, your ambulance.
We're saying the same thing.
And it turned into him or his dad, my Who's mom, and me all laughing at him to the point where he literally left the room crying.
I'm out of here, dude. I can't do this. I'm gone.
Yeah.
He left the room.
I am banana.
And his dad goes, sorry, we've been in Oklahoma a long time.
It's in our DNA. We can't give. I'm upset that everybody's jumping on my bandwagon. I felt like I was pretty early with my Cowboy hype trade take.
Did you think the owner of the team you picked would not agree with you?
I mean, I'm glad that he did. It makes me feel a little bit better. Let me ask you guys this question, okay? Huh? You want to mock the take, laugh at the take? Former Cowboy Jason Swigart.
More just laughing at Jerry Jones being with you.
Who had the Seahawks in the Super Bowl last year?
Jerry Jones?
Did anybody pick that at the start of the year? Was that a trendy pick? Were they one of the favorites?
Cowboys not get picked every year since 96?
Nobody ever gives them a chance until now. I've jumped on the bandwagon. Now is the moment. All I need to know about this NFL season, or all I do know, is that if the Chargers play the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be a rich man.
Did you do a bet on Exacto?
I got a future Exacto ticket, Chargers versus Cowboys Super Bowl, and if it happens, baby, we're living large.
Who has a better chance of winning the championship, the Cowboys or the Ducks? We could put that up as a poll question.
I mean, we know where the vote's going to go on that.
This special kind of hell Dirt would be living in if Oregon Cowboys did it win. And the Cowboys did.
Although at least it would make me some money if they did, because I do also have a Super Bowl ticket on the Cowboys.
Loaded third hour. We got Status Story in the fourth hour. There's leftover NFL audio if we want to get to that today. We'll talk some more football. Kevin Calabro admitting something on an interview that probably needs to be just uttered. We don't need to dive in, I think. But
just point it out.
Just point out a couple things about not Tom Dundon, but the former ownership group. So we'll get to that as well. Dirt and Sprague, Hour 3 and 4 on 105.1 The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.